Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. With over 100 million downloads and tons of five-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we take your calls and hear your real ghost stories with our special guest host today, one of your favorite guests, Carol's sister, Kathy Gordon, joining us today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Write in realghoststoriesonline.com and help keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, that's a supporter of the show. You will get access to all 300-plus bonus episodes exclusively for EPP members. You'll also get access to advanced episodes of the show, commercial-free, weeks before they go public. And you also get our ebook, our audiobook, all sorts of extras, $5 a month. Sign up, keep us on the air, and get all the hookups at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Today, it's me, Tony Bruschi, and Kathy Gordon is joining us. Thank you for stepping in for Carol this week, Kathy.
Well, thank you so much. Carol had to have a little minor skin cancer taken off her lip.
Yeah.
And she has this, it looks like, she looks like a real housewife now with the big swollen lip.
I'm sure she would love to hear that. Or have you said that to her yet? Or are you just keeping this for on the air? Because I don't think she ever listens back to the show. No one ever does.
I told her she looks like a real housewife.
Okay.
So, you know, she looks like she's paid a lot of money to get that big lip.
She sent me a picture the other night because we were texting.
Yeah, we
were texting and she said to me, do you want to see a picture? Like, it's like little kids like showing off like knee injuries, you know, look at what's under my Band-Aid from my fall.
Exactly. And it was, she said she could have done this if she didn't have to use the letter B, the letter P. If she didn't have to use an M, she would be great.
So basically most syllables are out and yeah. Wow. Well, I hope it's improving for her by the day. She seems in good spirits when I've been texting back and forth or emailing back and forth with her. So
yeah, I think it's doing well.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. We just had your daughter on last week, and that was really fun and very interesting to be talking about her haunted car. And we don't have to go back into all the details of it, but I want to know. I mean, what's your thoughts on it? I mean, when you started hearing the stories and. Give me your feedback.
Well, you know, it started just like, you know, when she really started saying it was really weird, like somebody got in my car and, you know, went through it, but they didn't take anything, you know, like it was just kind of building up to this one event where then she backs out and like she literally got out and took pictures and sent them to me right then and there. And she goes, "What is this, Mom?" She said, there's nothing here to back into. There's nothing here to hit. And I kept trying to figure it out. Like, did it just like somehow explode? You know, was there some bulb in there but it couldn't have because it was dented and scraped.
Yeah.
You know,
it made no sense. I saw those pictures too. And I was like, what? And I mean, I don't blame her. I would probably be doing the same thing as she is with getting rid of the car because there's just too many. Because at first when I started hearing about it, like while the story is, you know, kind of in progress, I was, you know, thinking like this almost like sounds like a weird stalkerish type thing, you know, where like somebody's like kind of cleaning your car but then you can, you know, that may be the extreme, but then you could also think, well, maybe kids got in and played in there and then they wanted to make it look nice. And then I don't know. I mean, there was a couple different angles that were, none were great, but
yeah. And like with the last thing with the taillight, mm-hmm. the rear end there, I was like, you know, I mean, I'm thinking everything. I thought, did somebody shoot at her?
Yeah.
You know, all these things. But then I thought, no, because it's scraped like you ran into something.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was no, I mean, you would have found a hole or something, you know, some sort of, something would be there. I mean,
or a rock or something that somebody threw, but it would not explain the way it was dented and scraped like you, you know, ran into something.
I'm hoping that's the end of the cars, because she still has it sold yet, or is she still got it on the market?
I think she's still got it and is in the process of selling.
Okay. I was talking to her last week. We were saying maybe you should market it as haunted. Like, there's a market for that now. So,
well, yeah, there might be. I mean, there may be that special someone out there who would just love to have that.
It's like a spite car. Somebody like buys it for like their child that they really don't like. like. You've been an ass your entire life. You want a car? Here's your fucking car.
Here you go. Yeah. Here's your car.
Haunted. Yeah. Perfect first car. Haunted. Yeah. Haunted. Dad,
that's right. Yeah, Kate's she's a cutie. She really is. Yeah. You know, she's got this great personality, but she has lived in the haunted, a couple haunted places with me. So I think every now and then she gets, she experiences things.
Her spidey sense is definitely up when it's going on. Let's jump over to our first caller at 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi guys, this is Jill from Kentucky. I've called a couple times with different stories, especially about my dad who passed away a couple of years ago in the house that I live in. So I wanted to tell you guys another one that happened. I guess it was a couple months ago at this point. So anyway, there was a day, I've got a 3-year-old son, and it was just one of those days. He was driving me absolutely insane and, you know, just being a 3-year-old, and I was kind of losing my cool with him, and he had just broken a glass, a wine glass, and I was like, I'm done, like, you need to sit here and eat your lunch so I can just breathe. So he went and he sat at the table and ate his lunch, and while he was eating, I went into his bedroom and I was getting a couple things cleaned up in there. And before I went in, so there's a picture of my dad right next to his bedroom, and ever since my son was little, we always tell the pitcher, good night, you know, good night, Grandpa Ken, we love you, and, you know, good morning, whatever. So anyway, I was just looking at his pitcher, and I had said to him, I'm like, Dad, you know, I miss you. I really wish you were here to make these tough times a little easier, and, you know, just having a conversation. At the end, I thanked him for, you know, all the ways he comes through to me and just all the signs he gives me that he's not really left us. So anyway, I went into my son's room after that, did what I needed to do, came back out maybe 2 minutes later, and I went out into my kitchen, and right next to my, or in my kitchen is my my basement door that leads down to the garage, and right next to the basement door on the floor was a dried palm leaf, you know, the ones they give you on like Palm Sunday at church. And so this is significant because when I was little, we grew up Catholic, and every, you know, Palm Sunday we would go to church and get these palm leaves, and my dad just loved to braid them in the crosses and whatever else. I mean, he would just have my sister and me collect bunches of these palm leaves so he could go home and braid them, and, you know, then they would dry out and he would hang them around the house or whatever. So anyway, I have not been to church in, God, I can't tell you how long. It's been a very long time. And I certainly don't have any palms plants in my house. So that palm leaf, I mean, by the time I went into my son's room and came out, it was just there. It just manifested on the floor. So I just said, you know, thanks, Dad. Well, that same day, I went to the gym. And when I got home, I went into the kitchen. My boyfriend was home with our son at that point. And I went into the kitchen, and on our counter with my dad's name on it. It was my dad's heart medication that he stopped taking before, which was part of the reason that led to his death. He died of a heart attack. And this heart medication, he stopped taking it a couple months before because I guess he didn't like the way it made him feel. I don't know. But my stepmom had told me that. So I went out and I said, Michael, where did you find Dad's medicine? And he said he had just went downstairs to look for a gym bag. And when he picked up a bag that we have never seen in our basement before, the medicine just rolled out of it. So he had brought it upstairs. So that was odd. And then that same day, this is just a day full of signs. That same day, my son and I were watching TV later, and we had the Apple TV on. And then all of a sudden, the Apple TV, my TV, everything just went off. And my little boy looks at me and he goes, "Oh, Grandpa Ken, turn the TV off." And I was just like, okay, that's insane. So yeah, the whole day was just filled with crazy signs from my dad. And I mean, these are things that just constantly happen around my house. So I have plenty more stories. I would love to tell them right now, but I'm sure I've eaten up a significant amount of time already. So I will leave it at that today. And I'll call back with more another time. Thanks as always for listening. And I hope you guys are getting through all this craziness all right of COVID. And yeah, I'll call in later. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that that story with us. So many things to unwrap there. Your thoughts?
Well, I can totally understand that. As she was telling it, I was getting kind of the chills because my son came to visit me just recently, and he's 34 now. Mm-hmm. And we were out in the back evening. It was beautiful. We were rocking in the chairs and talking, and I don't know. So we got to chatting, and he said he didn't like scary things. He goes, "You know, I never have." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, he goes, "You know, that all goes back to, now I'm going to say something, make y'all laugh." He said, "Bozo." He called my dad Bozo.
Okay.
And he was very close to my dad, and my dad died when he was about 8 years old. And he, one time he came out shortly after my dad died, and just, you know, kind of out of the blue said, "Well, you know, Bozo told me last night, whatever." And we all just kind of stopped and looked at him. And I thought, you know, he's young. I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably, this went on quite a while. Like, you know, every so often he'd say, "Well, that's not what Bozo said," or "Bozo told me to do this," or, you know, and it kind of, and I just kept kind of letting it go. Well, the other night we're out rocking and he goes, "Mom, that was just absolutely the truth." And I said, "Did you actually see him?" And he said, like, he was standing there. He said, "The first time I saw him was right after he died, and I was crying, and he sat down on my bed, and I opened my eyes because somebody sat down, and it was him, and we talked." And he said, "For the longest time, if I wanted him, all I had to do was, you know, say his name, and I'd look over, and he'd be standing in the corner or, you know, something." And he goes, "And it lasted maybe throughout the first year," mm-hmm, "off and on." And this reminded me so much of that,
yeah,
when she was talking about her son, and then the things that she found, like the palm leaf, like that's not just something that you have in the house.
I mean,
that's, you know, and then that, you know, the quirkiness of the medicine just showing up that day, and, you know, her son saying, you know, those kids are really intuitive. Mm-hmm. I think until we train them not to be, you know.
Yeah. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, to thank you to our supporter today, Best Fiends. You know, ghost stories, they're like a puzzle. Each connection help reveal the big picture of what's going on with the situation. So when I'm not thinking about ghost stories, my brain, it's still going, connect the dots, make a challenge here. So I love Best Fiends. If you aren't playing Best Fiends yet, you are missing out big time. It's fun. It's exciting. It's an adventure. You can experience it anytime, anywhere. You don't even need internet connections to play this thing. No Wi-Fi, no worries, which is great. Plus, right now, you know, we're all doing social distancing the best we can. It's a great way to have some social distant competition with your friends. Yeah, it's a great one. I love just kind of playing it when I want to take a break. I'll just kind of go out to the porch, sit out there, pull it up on my phone, and just kind of let my mind release. It's a mental palate cleanser, if you will. I've been playing, some friends who are playing it in other states too, which is really kind of cool, because we can compare scores and such and see who's doing the best in the leaderboards and all that. It's really cool. You can even share gifts back and forth with each other. Isn't that cool? Right now, there's over 100 million downloads of this game. So there's lots of folks out there playing it. There's a reason for it. It is so much fun. Don't miss out on the Best Fiends craze. Tons of cool characters to collect and brand new monthly theme challenges as well. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads, tons of five-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. It's almost like, no, that's, you know, I think it's almost dismissing them not to be, because that's what we end up doing with a lot of the thoughts that are so that's out there. You know, it doesn't, you know, go along with the format of what we believe or what we're supposed to believe. And then eventually they're like, no, I mean, that's, you know, because I'm wondering, I mean, at one point when your son said that they that Bozo kind of, you know, started to stop showing up, was he getting older to the point where, was he starting to look at it like going, that's not even possible, you know, and then reasoning it out?
You know, I asked him, like, what do you think was happening?
Yeah.
And he said that he thought that that it just got to a point he didn't need him there.
Okay.
Like, he felt like he stayed as long as we needed him. He was in the house, you know. And so I think it was more like that, like him, you know, just making sure we were okay. And then finally, you know, he crossed or transitioned, whatever happened.
Sure.
And, you know, I kind of sensed that too over that year. A lot of different things happened, like she's talking about. And I think that's really true. She couldn't. Yeah, she really, that one really strikes home with me that she happened to talk about that, because, and I will bet you anything, when her son is 25, if she'd ask him, he'd go, oh, yeah,
it was
saw him plain as day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want to ask you and get your insight on this, because early in the first part of the story, they were talking about the picture that they would all look at and all, you know, kind of say hi to and all of that. Do you think, and it's one thing when it's like a photo taken that, you know, literally it's part of that day, especially the negative, you know, it was there on the day that this event was taken. If you have a negative, if anyone doesn't know what that means, that's what the memory card was, a big memory card that if you looked at it through a light made everyone look like they were evil. That's how we did pictures. But it could pictures or more specifically, can a piece of art, and I want to ask you this because obviously you're in the art community and our audience knows that too. Can a piece of art that is created, just for example, and we can go down 50 different paths here, but for example, a portrait or something that is painted of an individual, of someone who is real that exists or did exist. Can something like that have any sort of energy that gets attached into it just by the mere fact of creating that image, that piece of art, someone putting their energy into it? Can it somehow then connect back over to who this is representing or even a space or a place that's being put into a piece of art?
Well, okay, that is very, very interesting thoughts. You know, Portrait of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde really, you know, thinks about that. Like, you know, this whole portrait, it just is him, you know, getting more evil and evil. So, I mean, this is a concept that's floated throughout history, you know, in relics and all this sort of stuff. We have voodoo dolls and things that we try to get a likeness, and, you know, so yes, throughout history, it's been a strong belief of that there's, you know, this kind of mad, what they call a sympathetic magic, right? That I do something to this and then this happens, or, you know, that kind of thing. And we can trace that back, gosh, into prehistoric times where people have believed that you can, you know, there are numerous Native American tribes that for a very, very long time refused to have any pictures. And I believe still there are tribes that do this, refused to have photographs taken of them because they believed it captured the part of their soul.
Sure.
Was translated into that photograph.
Do they, and maybe you do know this, maybe you don't, cultures who have that belief or held that belief, would the same be said then of a painting of them too, or is that a different thing?
No, definitely a painting could happen. I like when I'm teaching a lot of times, I tell students, you know, photographs kind of do one thing. They capture an essence and it looks a lot like them. But boy, there's something about a painting when somebody captures your likeness. And I'll put a painting up there, a good portrait painting. And we look at it and I said, it's as if they're still alive in there. And everybody I said, look in those eyes deeply. Mm-hmm. You can almost still feel who that person really was. Much more, there's something about a portrait artist that can capture a bit of that essence of a person, and it's there. You know, I truly believe it.
It's
that
almost,
there is this connection. Yeah.
It's almost more lively than even a still photograph. I mean,
I think so.
It's very interesting how that works. I wanted to get your take on that. I was thinking of that as they were sharing their story. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next caller. Hi. Let's hear yours.
Hello. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California. I've called in before, actually. I'm the hospice volunteer that watched a patient say goodbye to everyone spiritually that she saw. That none of the other volunteers saw. That it was really beautiful, but I haven't heard it on the show. I guess maybe because of, you know, COVID, I haven't really been listening. So I'm catching up as I'm cleaning the house. I do have two stories to share with you, which is amazing. But I do have two stories to tell. The first story is actually from a friend of mine who flew for a particular airline. This is before 9/11. And very close friend of mine. And she was working the flight. And when you work a flight, you know the crew, you know the pilots, you know the other flight attendants you're working with. So she was working the flight. And this is before 9/11 again. And she was doing service in first class, and she turned around, and this captain had come out of the cockpit, the flight deck, and entered the lavatory. And she didn't think anything of it. So she continued her service. She turned back around, and he was coming out of the lab, and he smiled, tipped his hat to her, and walked through the flight deck door. So flabbergasted, first not knowing who this captain was, but also the fact that this guy literally just walked through the flight deck door. It shook her. So they got to their destination. They landed. She asked the captain that was alive. She asked him, she said, you know, I saw this captain come out of the bathroom, and at first I thought it was you, but then I realized when he walked through the flight deck door that it wasn't you, and he smiled at me and he tipped his hat. And the captain said, well, this particular aircraft, and I won't say the airline, but this particular aircraft has parts from another aircraft that had crashed. And some of the parts from the crash were salvageable, so they used them in this particular aircraft. And this particular captain flies this particular type of aircraft a lot, especially this particular airplane. And he said that's not the first time that he's heard that. So my friend was like, wow, this captain, this ghost captain, was attached to some of those parts from the plane. So my question to you guys is, because we both don't know, I just think it's a fascinating story. But my question to you is, do you think it was residual, or do you think he still thinks he's flying? And I didn't know ghosts had to go to the bathroom, but there you go. But do you still think he's flying? Do you still think he's in the air, or do you think he's just attached residually to parts of the aircraft? I don't know. Okay, so second story pertains to me and a friend of mine. I'm from Los Angeles, California, and we were going through the Forest Lawn Cemetery in Burbank, and I wanted to see famous people's graves. It's just something weird that I do. But I'm preaching to the choir, so we all enjoy ghosts. So there we go. So we're walking through the cemetery, and I was younger, so I was probably 25. I'm 44 now, so I was 25 at the time. And we're walking through, and I was a little bit more not aggressive, but outspoken, I would say. So we're walking through, and there's this angry man with a shovel digging a hole, very much like a dog would just go at a hole digging it. He was digging this hole with this shovel. And he was so angry. I will never forget the anger and the hate from this man. You could just feel the energy. So I said to my friend, I don't think he works here. And my friend said, please don't say anything. Just let it go. Let's just look and have a good time. And of course me, I'm like, no, let's follow the rules. I don't think he works here. And I don't think he's supposed to be digging a hole in a graveyard. So I said to him, And let me preface, he was dressed in khakis and a white button-up shirt with a collar, not attire for digging a hole in a graveyard. So I said to him, I said, I don't think you're supposed to be digging a hole here, do you? And with such anger and hatred, he looked at me and he was like, mind your business. This has nothing to do with you. And I said, whoa. Sorry. So we went on our way, and we looked around the cemetery for a little while. And the whole time I'm like, something doesn't feel right about this. So we start to head back towards the car, and we're walking back towards the car. And we pass the place where he was digging. So we get to the place. There's no man, no shovel, no hole. The earth hadn't even been broken. And I looked at my friend and I said, we saw a ghost. Literally, that had to be a ghost. So the only conclusion that I could come up with is maybe he had a loved one buried there and he was angry about them dying and he was trying to dig them up. You guys are the professionals. I have no idea. But anyway, those are my two stories. I hope you enjoy them. I love being an EPP. Thanks for everything you do. And stay safe in these crazy times and continue the good work. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for sharing those two stories. I did want to talk about both of them, but since we're coming off of that one, let's go to that. Then we'll talk about the plane. What I'm interested in with that whole story, and there's a lot to unwrap there, but the disappearing of the man and the earth, the ground that he was digging up, that has always fascinated me when we have stories of people. Well, I was driving down this road and there was this house and we needed to make a phone call, you know, prior to cell phones or whatever. They need to stop at the house. On the way back from their trip, they get back there and the house is like abandoned, torn up, ripped apart, was nothing like it was 4 days ago. Or it's just not there, period. But then they look at historical records and find out, boom, oop, there was a house there once. It looked just like that. That is always fascinating to me because it's involving more than just a human spirit or a being. It's actually interacting with the environment, and mm-hmm. and that's where, what is that? How is it doing that? Is it the energy from the people that ended up being propelled onto the literal physical environment that was around them for so long, or do structures and things like that just have their own energy to them of some sort?
Oh, I'll tell you, that was even giving me the goosebumps when he was talking. He did a great job telling both of those stories. Yeah. But I think you are absolutely right that that's a whole different level of what we're talking about when actual things you know, are rearranged, reconstructed, or somehow reinvented so we see them and participate in them. I wonder if that caller has had other apparitions, or if that was kind of the only one that he actually saw something. Do you remember a long time ago, Tony, when I told you that story about the funeral home basement?
Yes.
And I'd been down there and there was the door with all the stuff that I was keeping for the attorneys.
Yeah.
And it was similar, like it was just torn up, mm-hmm. you know, like the VC. I just remember those VC edge tapes. All the tape was pulled out and it was all over the place. And, you know, there was a car seat tipped over. Like there was just stuff everywhere. Like they pulled these boxes down, papers were everywhere. And then when I went back a couple days later, it was perfect.
And with that, when you analyze that in your mind and you know that this happened to you, I always try to then in my mind go to, well, okay, this happened, but how did the physical rearranging of things, the correction of things happen? Or did it ever have to be rearranged? Did something make you see it in that, you know, way that was all torn apart, and then when you went back the next time, you weren't seeing it because that wasn't
what I'm wondering. Yeah, if it's more like it was this vision that I walked into and saw, and like him, that he actually saw something that was happening maybe in mm-hmm. a parallel.
Yeah, like are these things that we're seeing really there? Because you go back and then it's completely back to normal, or is it almost like a hallucinogenic, you know, drug, you know, something is hitting that part of your brain and then that's what's making you see it. The one thing that I would throw the caveat situation to that would be the folks, and I've heard many stories like this, kind of what I referenced earlier, car broke down, had to go into a physical structure, into the house, use the phone and all that. Your brain would not be generating a safe house to walk into where there's an operating phone. You know, that part, that just doesn't play into that scenario. But something from a distance, though, or you're just kind of an immediate, but you don't have to physically interact with it. I could see it being almost that hallucinogenic thing where something is trying to take control. It's almost like when we have stories of someone just getting information on something. You walk into a room and you just boom, you know all the story. It's like a download where you don't have to necessarily, a computer doesn't have to sit there and read aloud everything that's being pumped into it. It's on there. It knows what's there. It's almost as if as humans we're getting that from time to time, but we don't necessarily have the skills to fully understand when that much information is just thrown at us that quickly and to digest it all.
The other thing that's interesting about that particular one that is kind of similar to mine was the anger in it.
Yeah.
Like he said, he was so angry. And that's what I sensed when I opened that door was the anger of what it was, as if they were looking for something. And his is kind of the same way. Mm-hmm. Like they're angry and they're digging, either looking or burying or trying to find something or, it's very similar in that respect.
Let's jump back to the airplane story, because I know I have heard a version of this story before, and I don't know if it's something, because he said that he heard this from a friend, so I don't know if the friend was just kind of retelling an airplane story to them, or if this friend that they're referencing is literally the source of the story that was told. But I've heard that version of it where the parts from the airplane, and I used to know the details of it. I was trying to do a little Googling while we were hearing the story. There were several flights where I've read parts have been used that were salvageable for other airplanes. And then they're in time seeing ghosts of these other individuals on the planes, but quite often captains, sometimes passengers and whatnot. Are you familiar with any of those stories?
No, but he did bring up a couple interesting points when he said, you know, do you think this is some residual from the crash mm-hmm. that, you know, this is kind of attached to this? Or do you think he thinks he's still at work and he doesn't realize he's dead? I think maybe both.
Yeah. Because it would be, I almost like wonder sometimes when you have these things that seem to be repeating themselves, but sometimes kind of interacting, but not super, just almost like as if they were a live human being doing their thing. Mm-hmm. The way I try to understand it is I'm thinking of a time if I have a dream and that dream is the context of time is all messed up. I'm not really realizing that it's not normal for me to be flying an airliner as my career. We're you're in a situation in the dream, and as outlandish as it may be, in that moment, everything seems as fine and normal, and you're there. And if you can even, like, sometimes you can even identify, at least I can, a history to that individual, that version of me that's doing this job or doing this thing with the people, places I've never been. And it just all seems completely normal. And then you wake up, and I've had moments where I've woken up out of dreams going, where am I? And it taking me a moment, because I'm almost like flipping out of that other identity. But in the dream, it's not that I'm another person. It's just that it's like these other things are normal. I don't know what that is.
Well, or I kind of like I don't know if I like it, but I'm kind of gravitated towards the idea that people, that they don't know they're dead.
Yeah.
And so they're going through these things again. Mm-hmm. One time when I got my very first job, I was 12 years old and I was at this, it was at a Carnegie, you guys all know like old Carnegie libraries.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was still a library and I got a job doing like putting books away and cleaning and dusting and things like that. And you had to go down into the basement to take the magazines and put them all away on the shelves. So I'm down in this fairly creepy, as you can imagine, basement in this old building. And I felt somebody looking at me and I turned around and there was this little girl standing there. I'd say she was 7 or 8 years old, wearing a plaid dress. And it was an odd drop waist, old fashioned dress. And she had a bow in her hair, which was very odd.
Yeah.
You know? And she was redhead freckled and looked at me and she just looked me right in the eyes and I looked at her. And then she turned around and walked backwards and then just sort of dissipated on the way out. Of course I'm panic struck. I left the stack of magazines, ran up the stairs, and Mrs. Dugan, the librarian, said, what's wrong? You'd all flushed or whatever. And I said, I was just downstairs and I saw a girl, and I could tell by her face that I wasn't the first person to say they'd seen this girl.
Yeah.
You know, and I was pretty young, so I don't think she wanted to get me all shook up. So she was like, oh, I'm sure it's all okay, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like that, where I don't know that sometimes people know that they're dead.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of walk. And when we're doing something that's kind of mundane and our minds are open, mm-hmm. they step in.
Yeah. It's always interesting because there's so many, anytime you think, oh, I might have this figured out, I might know the direction this goes. Yeah. Nope.
Exactly.
Here's the story to prove that idea completely wrong. But
yeah, exactly.
That's how it works. Well, we're going to wrap things up there. Kathy, thank you so much for being on the show with us again today.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you, guys. I just love being here with you. It's awesome. Y'all take care.
I would have you on again in a heartbeat. If I ever need fill-in, you'll be the first person I call if that's cool with you.
Oh, totally cool. I love it. You know, I love it because this is weird, but it sort of feels like a safe place to sure. tell our stories, you know.
It does.
Because you don't want to just say these sorts of things to everybody. So we're a community,
yeah,
you know.
You're exactly right. We used to call it group therapy for the paranormally affected when we started the show. And it's still really, no matter what, it still very much is that. Thank you again for being with us today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. Support the show. Keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/real ghost stories. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening.